Well, good morning. Glad to have each one of you here today. And I guess I'll start out by asking if any of you have read a book that you kind of wish there was a sequel to. You ever read a book like that? Or have you ever read a book and then you find out there was a sequel and you read that one, and then maybe you wish there was a third one? Or, you know, sometimes we can really get caught up in a storyline or a channel of thought, and it can hopefully be beneficial for us. So I've kind of been there this week. I was thinking about the message we had last Sunday about began over here in Ezekiel, the 10th chapter and the 10th verse, maybe a little bit before that. He's talking about a vision that he saw, Ezekiel is, and we might even say today it's kind of a fanciful vision. He said he saw at the end of the thing, he says he saw something that was alive. And look here in maybe beginning in verse, I think I'm in the wrong page here. Verse 8 beginning, it says, "And there appeared in the cherubims the form of a man's hand under their wings." So I'm just kind of picking up in the middle of his vision what he was seeing. "And when I looked, behold, the four wheels by the cherubims, one wheel by one cherubim and another wheel by another cherub, and the appearance of the wheels was as the color of a beryl stone." And I don't know how that correlates, but this vision seems to be very complex. And he says, "And as for their appearance, they four had one likeness, as if a wheel had been in the midst of a wheel." And I told you last Sunday that's the first place that a planetary gear set was mentioned in the Bible. And I tried to draw some pictures up on the board of that. And I'm going to try to real briefly draw something here on the board. But I want us to think about, our thought last Sunday was a wheel within a wheel, and how complex it can be, but yet how purposeful and how beneficial it is, and how advantageous it is for us to be all members of one body and be able to work harmonious. So in thinking about that, we tried to draw teeth on our ring gear last Sunday, and we're not going to try to do that today, but we drew this planetary that had two sets of what we call planet gears, or y'all are going to have to really excuse my artwork today. But this don't do it justice, because this has teeth on the inside and this has teeth on the outside. Y'all are going to have to use your imagination, just like you have to when you're reading Ezekiel's vision. But what I've tried to draw for you is a very crude illustration of what we call a Ravano planetary gear set. It has two sun gears, one ring gear, and two sets of planet pinions. And so The complexity of driving and holding those components and getting the benefit out of it is something that when you start taking a component apart that has these kind of gear sets in them, you just, it seems like things is just stacked inside of one another, and you can fill a whole workbench full of parts. And even if you're the one that took it apart, you look at that and say, how does that all fit in that one little hole? And so to think about, okay, when it's, this thing is in first gear or reverse or overdrive and all of that, and you're holding one thing and turning something else, how does it make the thing coming out of the back turn the right direction and the right speed and all of that? So it gets real complicated. And as I was thinking about that, I thought, you know, we left last Sunday with the idea that working together and finding your place in the body and all of that, that's a good thing. It's ideal, and we want it to happen. We want to have teachers, and we want to have those that can do all of those different functions, the gifts of healing, and we want to see all of that. But that's kind of like me dumping something out. I tell you a little story about myself. When I was probably about 12 or 13 years old, I broke the transmission in my lawnmower because I was doing something that boys do that I shouldn't have been doing, and I broke it. So I took it apart, deciding I was going to fix it, and in my method of taking it apart was I split the thing in half, and I turned it over, and I just dumped everything out. So you know what happened. All of those pieces went their separate ways, and I had no clue how it went back together. And I worked on that and scratched my head, and it took me, I think, several weeks of my spare time after school and all that to figure out how to put it back together. So sometimes we say, well, this is a complex thing, a body. Well, our body is complex, isn't it? I mean, we don't have to have anybody tell us that our bodies are complex. We have, when we want to see our little children learn to walk and learn to talk, and then they're like miniature versions of adults, but they don't have their emotions like maybe mature, and they have feelings, and then even after we get to be adults, we have strange things that happen to us, and our feelings we're just so complex. And you know, I don't think about, you know, is my heart beating? Am I breathing the right speed? I don't worry. There's some things I don't worry about. It's just so complicated. How many of y'all have stopped to think whether your temperature is the correct number this morning? I just don't worry about it. You know, if I feel hot or I feel cold or I feel something uncomfortable, then I might check my temperature. I might check my pulse. I might check my blood pressure. I might check my respiratory rate or something like that. If my tummy's grumbling, then I might think about, well, when's the last time I've ate something? You know, but we don't constantly keep that in mind because it is so sophisticated. So for me to stand here, or anybody to say, well, the body of Christ, it's such a beautiful thing. Well, it is. But it is pretty intricate, is it not? There is so many different facets of the body of Christ. There's so many opportunities for us to be a contributing member. You know, I'm thankful I've got toenails and fingernails and all of those kind of things, even though they cause us some little hiccups once in a while. I'm glad I've got all of those things. And I'm glad the body of Christ has all of the intricacies that it takes to make it functional. But as I thought about this, and I thought a wheel within a wheel, and I thought about these planetary gear sets, and how do you explain to somebody with no artistic ability and no pieces to demonstrate it, and even if I had the pieces here this morning and I was up here holding one piece and turning something else, it'd be very difficult for you to grasp how that all works together. It is sometimes, if you even know or think you know how it works, it's still difficult to illustrate it and to demonstrate how those pieces work together. So I'd like for us to look maybe very briefly in Romans, the 12th chapter. Notice a couple verses here. We're talking about the body of Christ. It says here in verse 4, chapter 12, he says, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. We are all connected together because by the grace of God we can all be in the body of Christ. We can all be part of that body of Christ, and it's imperative that we find our specific function. And how do we find that, and where do we go? How do we get there from where we're at? That to me is the question of the hour. How do we become part of something? And I don't even hardly know how to identify as part of the body of Christ. So in 1 Corinthians 12, 18, it says pretty much the same thing, but let's look there. This is another verse Brother Paul had. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 18. He says, "But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him." God's the one that's going to help us find the place where we can be a contributing member. We talked about last Sunday about some broken teeth and how a broken tooth, all it takes is one broken tooth and it'll transmit through the whole thing and wreak havoc in the whole planetary. Well, the Lord knows where to put us. He knows how to set us in the right place. Let's skip down to verse 27 here. He says, "Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular." We talked about if you took one of those small planet gears out, if you took one of these out, it would function by and large. Probably would start developing some symptoms, and it would not have the capacity, no matter how small that part is, it wouldn't have the capacity it did with all of them there. Okay? So you're going to see premature failure even if it could go through the motions. So I want us to realize how valuable every one of our contributions is, how that Christ can put us where he wants us to be, where we're most effectual, and how it would be most advantageous for his body to function normally. We look for symptoms when somebody is not functioning normally. We look for things like, are they flushed? Do they look extra pale? Are they breathing fast? Are they wobbly when they stand? We look for all of those things. Well, God wants his body, if you can picture this, he wants his body to be healthy, a good natural complexion, one that is able to perform as the body is designed to perform. So we all come from something less than being a contributing member in the body of Christ. Would you agree? None of us come into this world a perfect candidate for being part of a complex spiritual body. We come into this world looking out for me. looking for something that will gratify my desires and my whatever it is. So I'd like for us to turn to Psalms 139. Hopefully we've established the idea in our mind that Christ is going to put us in the place that he would have us to be. So let's look in Psalms 139, beginning in verse 13. He says here, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee. The Lord knows what you're made out of." He does. A number of years ago now, we visited up in northern Wisconsin, and we ended up going over, I believe it was to Duluth, Minnesota, and I was able to see iron ore being put in a ship, and it was going to be taken to some... This is semi-processed iron ore. I don't know. I'm sure they dug it out of the ground or the mountainside or whatever, and what they were loading in the ship, from my perspective, looked like little reddish, blackish, marble-sized little balls. So I know they didn't just harvest little round things out of the side of the mountain, but some type of machinery kind of compacts it and rolls it out, and that's how they were handled. I never saw iron ore like that. The iron and steel I know of comes in angles and flats and square tubes and castings and the finished. I'm looking at pretty much a finished product when I'm using it. You know, we can have a picture in our mind of the church being this fully functional, operational, powerful entity that helps mankind across the world and in our neighborhoods and all of those. We can have that picture in our mind, and we can look at ourselves and say, I don't even begin to know where I would fit in that. You know, God knows what you're made out of. You might feel like that little clump of iron ore. You might feel like you're just almost nothing, but he knows. You know, I look at those and think, well, how does it get from there to being a connecting rod in an engine? Well, I don't know what's involved in all of that. I know there's some heat. I know there's some hammering. I know there's some machine work. I know there's some packaging. And when I open the box and pull it out, you know, if I got something that was supposed to be steel and a car part to fix somebody's car, and I pulled it, opened it up, and all I had was a box of iron ore, you know how disappointed I would be? I would close the box back up and say, you got me the wrong stuff. That's not what I want. Well, we have to realize that no matter what we're made out of, God wants to turn us into a component that will be a contributing member into this complex wheel within a wheel. Over there in Ezekiel, he said that at the end, he said they were all going forward, straight forward. There was a purpose and there was a destination that was involved. And here he's looking at David, the writer here most likely, says, you know what my substance was. On the 15th verse, my substance was not hid from thee. When I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. Have you ever felt unperfect? I have. I'm guessing all of us have. If we haven't, we probably need to feel that way. But unperfect, not like the finished product. And he says here, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Now, what does that mean? It sounds like a prophecy to me. You didn't even have any fingers and toes, and God already had it figured out. You're going to have five fingers and five toes on each one of them things. You're going to have a... He's got this sorted out. Two ears, one nose, two holes in your nose, you know, all of that stuff. The Lord had a plan from your substance. And wherever you come from, your spiritual background, what you're made of, God wants to take that, and He has envisioned a finished product that fits. You know, every one of those pieces in that gear set come from iron ore somewhere. And when I looked at a shipload of little iron ore marbles, I didn't see any planetaries. But it went through a melting, it went through a forging, it went through a heat treating process, it went through, inside of every one of those pieces, there's intricacies. Every one of these things have a little shaft in the middle and a little set of bearings around that, and they have thrust washers, and there's a myriad of little bitty pieces inside of that complex things that looks like it's got a lot of parts. And the more you dig into it, the more pieces that you see. The more we get involved and the further we dig in to where do I fit in the body of Christ, you know, you'll find more places that you can fit. There'll be more places that I can be a contributing member. There'll be more places that I'll find that I can be that little bitty needle bearing. That little bitty pin that holds something together. I can be that thrust washer between me and the other. You know, some pieces stay still, relatively speaking, and others are going thousands of RPM. They're spinning incredibly flat, fast, right up against something that's stationary. You know, there has to be something as a buffer in there. And that's a part of the system. That's part of the wheel within a wheel. That's part of the body. That's part of the organization that God has in mind. He says, "How precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. And if I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I wake, I am still with thee." Thank the Lord that His thoughts towards us are precious. Thank the Lord that He... I hope it makes no one here uncomfortable for God to know the substance that you're made of. He knows what's behind your attitudes. He knows what's behind your dispositions. He knows what's where your hurts were. He knows where your disappointments were. And I hope all of that brings you a sense of peace instead of apprehension. Because He's got, what did it say here? "How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God." He is thinking good things about you. He has a good plan for you. And He wants you to be able to fit, whether you're the sun gear or the ring gear or the planet pinions or whatever you, He wants you to fit in this wheel within a wheel. They're going straight on. And there's a purpose and there's a destination. Let's go to Exodus, the 14th chapter, and notice a situation here. This is a story that all of us are familiar with. In Exodus chapter 14, we find here that... the children of Israel had left Egypt, and they were coming up to the Red Sea, and the Egyptians were behind them, and the Red Sea was in front. And geographically, they were trapped. Okay? Geographically, they were trapped. There was no exit for them. They were, looked like, up against defeat. So, if we look here, 11th verse, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will shew unto you today. For the Egyptians, whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more. So, something's fixing to happen, isn't it? And we know how it turned out, because we've already read the story. They didn't know how it was going to turn out. But what did Moses tell them? He said, in the 13th verse, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. Another place that he said pretty much the same thing, we won't maybe take time to read it, but in 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter, Jehoshaphat was up against the Ammonites, the Moabites, and those from Seir. And here again, when Jehoshaphat came to the Lord and he said, Lord, we're in trouble. These people have got it in for us. And he told them through inspiration, he said, stand still and see what the Lord's going to do. All right. You know how you get something out of a planetary? You hold one member and you give it an input. So I'll give you a real basic thing here. I know this is tough to see. Maybe I ought to draw it like this. So this is my planet pinion, and in the middle is a sun gear. And out here is a ring gear. If I will hold this still, and this turns this away, this ring gear has to turn that way. But there's something else that happens. There is tremendous amount of torque that's increased. Now I want you to think about what it means for us to stand still and let God work in our life. When Christ comes to us and we have been spoken to by the Holy Spirit, if we will let the Son of God engage in our hearts, in our lives, and begin to apply, there's going to be two things that happen. There's going to be a change of direction, and there's going to be increased power or torque that comes out of that. So I want us to be willing, whatever raw materials, he knows the substance that you're made out of. He wants you to be part of the intricate body of Christ, but I want you to be willing to stand still and let the Spirit of God and Christ Jesus himself to come into your life and begin to apply some turning forces and watch things start turning around in your life to where you're not just a glob of ore, whatever kind of ore. You start becoming shaped into something. There's something about forging, and when they get iron in a position to the state to where they can begin the forging, They put a raw piece of iron in a hammer mill, and they begin to hammer it, and the first form that it's shaped by don't look like the finished product. But it's hit several times by that, and they take it out of that, and they put it in another one that gives it a little bit more definition, and they hammer it some more. And they take it out of that, and they put it in another one, and they hammer it some more. And we're like that. If we will let God work in our hearts and work in our lives, there will be some changing in direction. If you're going down a path that's leading you away from God, that's causing you to feel distance from God, that causes you to feel distance from His holy presence, causes you to feel more in line with the forces that the enemy has, the worldly influences out there, if we will stand still and let God's Holy Spirit begin to work in our life, there will be some transition that changes. There will be some forging that happens. There will be a finished product, and we will find ourselves in a place that we might be the big ring gear. And we might be just a little needle bearing somewhere. But you know, the Lord has a place for us in His wheel, within a wheel. In Psalms 139, we were there just a moment ago. Let's go back and look at verse 2. He says in verse 2, "Thou knowest my downsetting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought." You ever wanted somebody to understand what you're thinking? He not only understands your thinking, but He understands your thought afar off. He knows why you feel disappointed. He knows why you feel rejected. He knows why you feel like you don't know where you're going or what you're doing. He knows all of that. And He wants to work with that. Remember, He knows the substance that we're made out of. And He wants to turn it into something that is part of a well-oiled machine. You remember we said last Sunday, you got to know what you're listening for. But there is a specific hum or a singing sound from any kind of mechanical device that's a good sound. And that's what He wants His body and His wheels within a wheel to sound like. He don't want it to sound like it's making little pieces out of big pieces. He don't want it to sound like it's grinding and crashing and all of that. He wants it to sound like it's something that's singing. All right? So He knows your thoughts. He knows what your substance is. He's not expecting you to become a complicated component and find your place in this complicated wheel within a wheel. I'm telling you, I can read Ezekiel and read that vision, and when I get done, it's like, I'm not real sure. What did he see? You know, how did he see a wheel and then say it was like the color of a stone? That's kind of like saying, I don't know, something, it just completely disconnects, doesn't it, in our mind? So I don't know what he saw, but it was pretty magnificent. And this is what I want you to understand. I see the church. It's a spiritual church, and it is magnificent. But it's not only that, it has visible components. You know, there are several transmissions. This is just a little insight. There's several transmissions that I can set here in my mind, and I can tell you, well, in first gear, this is doing this, and that's doing that. I can tell you what it's doing. You can't see nothing, and I can't see it either. But I know that's what's happening inside there. You know, that's the way it is in the church. I'm sure glad my car has got a transmission. I'm real glad it is. And I'm real glad that God's got a church. And He's got all of that figured out. I don't know. I can't explain it all on how mechanical things work. I know how some of it does, but the controls become very complicated because there's a reason they call it automatic. You're not changing the gears anymore. We're not changing the gears in our own life. We're coming and presenting ourselves to the Lord. He has a control system that'll put all the pieces together where they need to be. Where He can take your part, whatever it is, large or small, and He can put it in His machinery. And what comes out is a blessing to mankind. And when we say, I ain't never been nothing but an old lump of coal, and that's all I'm ever going to be. You know what God gets out of that? Nothing. But when we come to say, here I am, we're going to touch on that, Lord willing, here. Please bear with us. Remember what, we'll move on. Let's go to John, the 6th chapter. Familiar story. Y'all all know this from Sunday school years ago, if you were going. He says Jesus was over by the Sea of Galilee, and a great multitude followed him. Verse 2. Verse 3, and Jesus went up into the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? So here's the picture. We're out in the countryside, down by the seaside, and Jesus and his disciples were there. I don't know if his disciples brought any food for themselves or not, but we look out in the horizon in the distance, and there's a great multitude coming because Jesus is there, and they're expecting Jesus to give them something, some instruction. And as he was, he saw them coming, he turned to Philip. He was one of the disciples there, and he says, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? What are we going to feed all these people? The day's going to get away from us here, and what are we going to do? He said, and this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. And Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. 200 days' wages. That's what people was worth that time, penny a day. Remember that parable? 200 days, that's pretty much a whole year's wages to pay for the food. That's a big crowd. How much food would your year's wages buy? Buy a lot of food. That's a big crowd. And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? So I want us to think about what's presented here. You might say, well, all I've ever been is a chunk of ore, lump of coal. You know what happens when you put coal and iron ore together? You make steel out of it. And all of us have benefited from the miraculous invention of steel. And you know what happens when we bring our 2 fish and 5 barley loaves? God makes something out of it. You know, I wonder what his mother was thinking when she packed him that lunch. Didn't know what the day might hold. She didn't know that she was going to be the one that blessed a crowd that it would have took a year's wages to feed. She had no idea. You don't have any idea what your life, how it will impact. other people. You don't know where you're going to fit. And you may feel like you only got two fish. I want us to be challenged today. You know, we can give of our money. We can give of our assets, loan our equipment, and we can be disconnected from all of that. But there's something about giving of yourself. When you give of yourself to the master, there's something that benefits other people. You know, this little boy could have said, Mama packed this for me. He could have said, I wished everybody had a mama like I got. I've got lunch. I don't know what they're going to do, but I want to have mama's fish and mama's barley loaves. But he was willing to give what he had. Are you willing to give what you had? I don't know. I'm not talking about your resources. You might be able to give more than I do. You might be able to loan more and all that. But what about your life? Are you willing to give of your life? Are you willing to be an example of the believers? Are you willing to give of some of your time in preparing, in sharing? Yeah, you may feel like you're just a hunk of ore. You may feel like you're just a lump of coal. And you may go away with your head swimming, thinking, the body of Christ, the spiritual church. I don't know how wheels work inside of wheels. And Brother Danny talks about planetary gear sets, and he knows I don't understand none of that, and it don't make a bit of sense to me. But I'm going to tell you, every one of us has probably got a couple fish, and every one of us has probably got a few pieces of bread. Every one of us has got something. And what do you think happened? I think this little boy was close enough to Jesus and his disciples that I've got this picture in my mind of this little guy. I think less than 10 years old. I don't know, 5 or 6, maybe. Innocent enough to know that he had food, but no concept of how many people were there. I don't think he had a clue that it really needed a year's wages to feed this crowd. I can see him kind of pulling on Andrew's coattail, so to speak, tapping him on the back, getting in close until where maybe he heard what Jesus said to Philip. I don't know. But when he turned to Andrew and he said, hey, you think he'd want my lunch? What does that mean to us? What do you think Jesus wants your lunch? Does he want what you've got? I'm going to tell you he does. What did Jesus say? Tell the people to sit down. Tell the people to sit down. He didn't say, well, son, we're going to have a lot more food than that if we're going to feed all this crowd. He didn't say that. He didn't say, well, if you don't understand what a wheel within a wheel and a planetary gear set does, you don't have any business up here. He didn't say that. He said, tell the people to sit down. And he blessed it, and he broke it to his disciples, and then they break it to the people. He had there was more than two disciples. There was 12. And he broke the food to the disciples. And then they took it and broke off pieces. Can you see the disciples going down through there? Would you like a little fish? Another, would you like a piece of bread? And just going down the line, handing them, just reaching to their hand. And where did it all start? It's because the little boy said, I don't know if everybody's hungry. I'm willing to share my lunch. I'm willing to share what I got. When we come on Wednesday night, let's be willing to share what we got. When we got a few minutes, let's think about, what are we meditating on? What are we yielding our minds to? What are we yielding our appetites to? The Lord can use it. Oh, you might not have a 200 penny worth. You might not have a year's wages. You might not have the abilities of someone else. But He knows what you're made out of. He knows what you're made out of. He knows what His thoughts are toward you. When we give of ourselves to the Master, He's able to develop the components of the body and put them in their respective places. Found the words of a song. I think I've got some copies to it. I think it's Give of Your Best to the Master. Isn't that? Don't I have some copies printed off there? So maybe we could stand that, sing that song. I want us to be challenged this morning to give of our best to the Master.